All right. Hey, everyone. This is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9. Coming at you live here from the center of the universe. And that would be Clear Creek County, Colorado, of course, in the heart of Idaho Springs and just down the road there from historical Georgetown. And what a great place to be. What do you think, Amy?
I think it's a beautiful, amazing day to be here in the mountains with you, Jerry.
Oh, man, this is fantastic. Yeah, when you get a nice cool day like this, the crispness of it, you know, and, you know, the leaves are, well, they're pretty much done now turning. But, you know, it's just clear, it's clean. Of course, the wind helped a lot last night, too, you know, to make that happen. So we don't worry about air pollution up here.
Right. Right.
So this is The Rabbit Hole and Writer's Talk on The Rabbit Hole. And we'll have a guest calling in here shortly. John Alexander is going to be talking about his work that Amy helped put together. The Journey Begins with 1,000 Miles, and I can never get the rest of the title right, but what's the rest of the title on that, Amy?
The rest of the title, the subtitle is Thriving with Parkinson's Disease Through Hope, Optimism, and Perseverance.
All right. And John, he was on with his... early, I think it was in the spring, and he talked about the actual diagnosis of Parkinson's itself, but, you know, and what that was like. But now he's written the book, and so we want to talk more about that, and, you know, once he calls in here within a few moments, and we'll see how all that, you know, we've got the hookup and everything going here. So, but I do want to thank our sponsors, because without our sponsors, community radio like this, not possible. And, you know, last hour I failed to mention when Randy was in here, that was Tommy Knockers that helped bring that. And this hour I am bringing it here. So, and I have my own work and Sisyphus Wins. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to my work or my website, jerryfabianic.com. And the exciting thing is also all these great, fabulous authors like Amy and John and all the rest of them come in. And when you go to my website and you go to KYGT drop-down Writers Talk, oh my God, there's a plethora, there's an abundance of great literature that's out there, Colorado written. And, you know, you click on those and you get more information about the author, you get the audio files, you know, it's all amazing stuff there. So, yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to this show growing and people listening all over the country and, you know, learning about great literature, but also about Clear Creek itself. So, at any rate, yeah. So, so in a moment here, John will be calling in here. And, you know, so John, if you're listening, you know, we're waiting any time here, but good stuff. But you have your own work too, Amy, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But what's the title of your work?
My book is The Gratitude Connection. Embrace the positive power of thanks.
Okay. And let's see what we got here. All right. KYGT, LPFM, 102.7, 103.9. Who might I have on the air here?
Yes, this is John Alexander.
Well, hello, John. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Glad to be here.
All right. And in the studio with is our good friend here, Amy Collette.
Hi, John.
All right. So you're calling in from balmy Florida, right?
Yes, I am.
And how balmy is it?
Don't know the exact temperature, but it's a little humid.
Okay.
to be expected this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's...
And I'm actually in the middle of the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, is Goofy there?
I have not personally seen Goofy, but has a pretty good expectation that he would be.
All right, yeah, and I'm sure Mickey and all the rest of them too. So you'll be, just enjoying the day there in Disney World there in Orlando. So very good, cool for you. Okay, well, and you know, just a few moments before you called in, John, Amy and I were talking a bit about your work, and you've been on the radio on the show here with me before. You've been diagnosed, and you have Parkinson's disease.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and we talked about that before, but, you know, just a quick little summary of that, because we really want to talk about, you know, your work there and then building up, because we did that show before. But you were diagnosed when? About 2010, so about 7 years ago?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and pretty devastating news.
Well, it definitely was a shock, and what it does is it brings up a lot of questions. You know, what's going to happen to me? Will I be able to continue to work? Will I be able to continue to, you know, support my family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, meet my obligations and such. And what I started discovering was that by doing a number of proactive and positive things, you can actually live well with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an immediate. It's not the type of illness that is going to, you know, take you out of the picture, you know, particularly rapidly. And in fact, it, for many people, it they live with it for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the hope and expectation that I have at this point.
Mm-hmm. And you had pointed out, John, that you don't die from Parkinson's. You'll die with it, and hopefully
right.
you live a long life. So it's that stretch in between. Okay, you've been diagnosed. You can't change that. So between now and then, and I loved it. One of the key elements in the subtitle of your work is thriving. You know,
exactly.
That's a very optimistic and doing and energetic. You're in Disney World right now. Talk about that. You know, this whole concept there about thriving, and then I want to get into the work itself.
Yeah. Because with any kind of a challenge that a person might confront, the first thing is to simply cope, to get through what you're going through, and to survive. And I kind of decided that coping, while I've learned skill sets over the years to deal with that, you know, coping was often not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That there was probably a next level you could go to. And I probably took a little while to kind of craft the whole, call it, solution set. But I ended up doing it with a combination of activity, inspiration, and advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
So the activity, I learned early on that exercise had been very helpful to many people and was actually considered just as important as any medication you might take. And mm-hmm. so got involved in initially with cycling, and you know, learned how to ride effectively kind of whenever, wherever I wanted. And then other activities that I took up. So I did that to the point of riding 1,000 miles in the first year after my diagnosis. And I kept that up for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then another activity I did was to travel to Scotland, where I had a good friend.
Yeah.
And I climbed a mountain with him, which was not only an activity, but kind of a spiritual experience as well. And literally, you know, literally overcoming and thriving and, you know, seeing the world from a higher perspective.
Literally and symbolically,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, and you know, that was one of the intriguing chapters in your book for me, because someday I want to get to Scotland. And I guess they call them Munros. Those are the high hills in Scotland?
Yeah, those are any mountain in Scotland over 3,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend has climbed all of those, mm-hmm. like 283 of them. So it took him mm-hmm. about 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously he had a determination to achieve that goal, mm-hmm. even though he didn't have any particular illness he was
right.
fighting. It was just the determination that he was going to complete that task.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the people that I want to get connected with Amy, because I know there's a book in there somewhere on his adventures as well.
Amy's smiling and nodding. Amy, got a comment on that?
Yeah, well, John's been talking about connecting me with Roger for a while, and I was just thinking about that, John, because it's on my radar again to get planning that trip to Scotland next year. So I think that's a good thing for Roger and I to talk about is his book.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell him you encouraged me to draw that book out of him.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's about thriving in life. You know, when we talked the last time, John, and I brought up, like Helen Keller and Stephen Hawking, And we know with their disabilities. And could anyone say either one of them hasn't, you know, and Stephen's still with us to this day, despite his incredible physical disabilities, probably the most brilliant person on earth, is certainly right up in there. He has not lived a fulfilled life. You know, come on, you know. So what is that? And it sounds as if that's what you're saying. Okay, this is not pleasant, but it is where it is. And so I'm not going to let it control me.
Right.
Oh, and there's a train going by, too. We could hear that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I love it. Oh, great.
Bringing the magic right to us.
The Mickey Express.
So, but anyway, to talk about that a little bit there about, you know, like Thoreau says, suck the marrow out of life. You're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it, you only get one shot at this, and no matter what comes your way, you need to make your own choices and follow through.
Okay.
And that was a big part of what I wanted to focus on with the book.
Well, let's talk about the book now. Yeah, because you know, we're talking about, you know, the climbing the Munros and the cycling and everything, but why the book?
Well, I felt that I had a story to tell, and it might be helpful and meaningful for other people. When I talk about advocacy, one of the groups that I've been very involved with and continue to be is the Davis Finney Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Davis is known, you know, well to folks in Colorado and around the country, around the world, as he was an Olympic cyclist, Olympic bronze medal cyclist. He was the first American to win the stage of the Tour de France, and had a great cycling career. And when he was about to, it's about the point he was transitioning out of the active cycling, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's at age 40. And so that's what's called young onset Parkinson's, pretty much anything under age 50.
Mm-hmm.
And what he ended up doing was deciding to kind of use the approach and training he'd always gotten from his athletics and created a foundation with the purpose and goal of helping people with Parkinson's to simply live well today.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the most of what they have. And there's a number of tenets or pillars that they use to support that effort. One is exercise, which I've kind of already mentioned. But that can be not just cycling, but many different forms. It can also be some people take dance classes. Some mm-hmm. people take a class that I do take called power classes, which are cancer, Parkinson, wellness, recovery. I call it a combination of yoga, stretching, and Tai Chi that keep you limber and moving and active. But there's a lot of folks who have taken up boxing, non-competitive boxing. I mean, I've been in classes, boxing classes, and there have been a couple gentlemen in there with walkers, and they're beating the snot out of their bag.
They're tapping into their inner Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, that and just getting some of their frustrations out.
And you know, and it's fascinating when you're describing this, John, because we do it in the physiological sense. Okay, you need to keep moving the muscles and everything, but it's also an energetic thing there too. You you really get into it. In your case, cycling with them, and how does that pay off then for you and for others? And you encourage people to get in that energetic, psychological way.
Well, what it does is not only keep the muscles and such limber. It also improves your stamina and your balance. And like exercise for a lot of people, one of the symptoms of Parkinson's is fatigue, which I kind of treat by taking a nap most every afternoon.
Oh, I do that too. And
Thomas Edison was all for that, so I don't see that as being a problem.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you know, many people jog or do different things. And while obviously you're exerting energy to do that activity, you actually are kind of building up your inner resources to to kind of handle and deal with either the stresses or just, you know, the daily effort of living. So that's where a lot of this exercise is, you know, has very positive benefits.
All right.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
But I was just going to say some of the other things that David Sinney Foundation talks about in stresses is connectedness, you know, staying in contact with a social network, which is, you know, just simply other people. Because it's, there are quite a few people with this condition who can be affected by depression. And, of course, one of the biggest challenges with depression, if a person, you know, kind of succumbs to it, is, you know, becoming internalized and you know, woe is me, and, you know, there's nothing that can help me. You know, and often the best thing to do is to interact with other individuals. And there's a lot of ways to do that. There's support groups. There's helping out at fundraisers. But in doing so, you actually, you know, build up your emotional connectedness and, you know, end up being better off for it.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, you brought up the Davis Finney Foundation, and that's how you and Amy connected. So, and that sense of community. So I'd like for both of you, you know, Amy, you're here too, you know, so chime in a little bit here. The criticalness, if you will, okay, of that idea of community. I know as a runner, you know, I train all the time. I run all the time by myself. But on what I call game day, you know, when that race starts and I'm out there with several thousand of other my fellow runners, everybody's on the same team and everybody's cheering you on.
Right.
You know, so how's that, you know, like with the Davis Finney Foundation too? So John, then Amy, I'd like for you to jump in too, what your observations are.
Amy, I'll let you.
Okay, I'll jump in there. So I've been involved with the Davis Finney Foundation through my husband, who is a big cyclist. I'm a cyclist, but I'm not hardcore like John and my husband Tom. so I participate in more of a support capacity. But yeah, they did. My husband and some friends did a ride across the country called Friends for Finney to raise money and awareness for the Davis Finney Foundation. And one day, this crazy guy, John Alexander, reached out. I was kind of the social networking person and the person behind the scenes. And so John reached out and said, "Hey, I'm interested in your ride, and how can I help support? And is there any way I can ride with you guys?" And so John and I just started talking, and, you know, he's been a great supporter of the foundation. He's actually an ambassador for the Davis Finney Foundation and a wonderful, powerful spokesman for that group.
And John, you met there for Amy. We just talked about that. How is that, you know, and I frequently come back and say, you know, this is kind of like the Jungian thing, that there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Right.
That this is synchronistic here. And you two were meant to talk, and that's how I'm involved in this too.
Right, exactly. So John started talking to me about the idea of writing his story, and, you know, we started talking about how I might be able to help support that journey, and so ended up being his book coach and helping him produce this beautiful book that's out there to help other people thrive with Parkinson's.
And John, Amy, how was she able to, you know, you have the idea in your head. What did she bring, help you with, you know, skill sets, et cetera, that finally brought this book into fruition?
Well, what Amy did was to have a plan that was really our first structured conversation about the book, and it was to prepare a master plan. And I had an idea for the book for some time. I think on the one hand, I probably needed to have some more experiences before I was probably truly ready to sit down and knock it out. When Amy and I first talked, she said, "Well, bring to me whatever, you know, kind of outline you have." And I realized that I actually had a pretty structured outline. It was, you know, from the time of diagnosis to becoming aware of the importance of exercise to, you know, the path I went through, particularly with cycling, in the first year. And then she said, well, let's... And what I had done is, while I had been doing some of these activities, I had written some blogs or articles that I'd shared with a few people. So I kind of had some of that, you know, committed to paper already, which proved to be very helpful. Mm-hmm. But Amy said, okay, look at those and let me know how much time you would think you would need to have any one of these chapters be, you know, kind of ready, you know, ready for, you know, review, or ready to kind of be considered, if you would want considered to be in the book. And so say a chapter that I might have done on my initial diagnosis and my reaction to it, you know, that was, call it, pretty tight. So I put down maybe like a half hour or an hour to sort of dust that off and you know, make some changes. Or if I'd written an article about a particular bike ride that I'd done, I might have written that article in the context that, hey, here for, you know, through like my cycling group or something like that, well, here's an article about something I did that you might relate to or find interesting. But then I would usually close out an article like that of, oh, by the way, you know, I've talked about doing this a metric century ride, which is a 100-kilometer ride, which I just realized probably, I think it was last weekend, was the was like about the 5-year anniversary of doing that. Mm-hmm. And that was a ride for Ronald, to support Ronald McDonald House. Mm-hmm. And but at the end of the article about, you know, just deciding to do the ride, and then the they call it the pains and gains of actually the actual participation. Mm-hmm. including the trip to the podiatrist afterwards for inflamed metatarsals in my feet. Mm-hmm. I probably closed that article out by saying, oh yeah, by the way, you know, I have Parkinson's, so it's like, kind of, if I can do this, you can do it.
Yeah.
But obviously for the book, that fact would have been pretty well established, so I just needed to remove like that kind of a paragraph and you know, kind of rework that as a chapter a little bit. But anyway, and then there were a few, you know, events that took place from the time I stopped doing articles. And you know, say those, I said, well, that might take 2 or 3 hours. And when I put it all together, all of a sudden it was like 25, 30 hours of time to devote to this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while, you know, Amy certainly let me know that, you know, it's my timeline. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden became, you know, very realistic. Like, I knew how much effort it took me to, how much time and effort it took me to, you know, to, you know, kind of catalog one of these events. Mm-hmm. Previously, and I'm thinking, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I really can get this done. So, mm-hmm. What I've sort of said in my mind, even though I did have some stories kind of, you know, in the bank already, what I've said about this adventure was, it was from zero to published in 6 months, because from the time that Amy and I first spoke, which is probably like in late January or February, to being published at the beginning of August, it was exactly that, about 6 months.
Wow. That's pretty breakneck speed on that, you know, to move something. I mean, it took me 5 years to write my book. And you had a lot, apparently, you know, like with your articles and so forth. So, Amy, as the coach and editor and so forth, I would imagine, was there John's, you know, writing about Parkinson's and dealing with it, but a thread that moves the reader through, you know, so there's not just this whole bunch of Reader's Digest little anecdotes here, but there's a commonality there that, you know, move from one chapter to the next?
Right. Well, what's so inspirational about John's book is his positivity, which I think comes across just from talking to him. You hear it,
yes,
you know, on this broadcast. It's just part of who he is. He doesn't make a big deal of it. And that's a huge thread that moves throughout the whole thing. And along with that, what makes John's book have such a great impact is it's not just his story. It's the stories of all the PD heroes, what he calls Parkinson's disease heroes, that he writes about all throughout the book. Every chapter has at least one of these stories. And they talk about, it's John's introduction to this person about who they are and how they have thrived with Parkinson's and helped other people. And then at the end of the book, there's also a list of resources that can help families and people dealing with a family member with Parkinson's that is tremendously helpful. Mm-hmm. So all those things, I think, really combine to make a very inspirational, optimistic story, not just John's, but all these different PD heroes and all the resources that are available to help you thrive, mm-hmm. even with this disease, make the book really, really valuable for any person who's dealing with the diagnosis and all their loved ones.
Yeah, and that struck me was the PD story, so Parkinson's disease story, the anecdotes, but so powerful. John, I don't know if it's workable right now. You're in Disney World, but is it a possibility I can get you to read one or two of those? I mean, is there a couple? And I mean, I could tell you which ones. They're all very inspirational, but there were a couple that really struck in there. Is that a possibility? Otherwise, I'll put Amy on the spot here too. But if you could do it, John, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned a couple.
Right.
I can turn to those first.
Yep.
One, without reading the whole story, I'll just... one of the things about Parkinson's, there's about a million and a half people in the United States who live with Parkinson's. And the statistics are typical age for diagnosis about age 60. And it tends to be about 1.5 men to women. So I probably fell right into that category, more or less. I was about 58 when I was diagnosed. So I kind of consider myself young onset as well. But I've met so many people that the way that they choose to live their life has been so meaningful. And one that I'll just say, like I say, anecdotally mention is a gentleman named Jimmy Choi out of Chicago. He was diagnosed when he was just 27 years old. So that's obviously very young in just about anybody's book. And he went for a few years and gained a lot of weight and was quite depressed about it. And a turning point for him was he was carrying his like a year and a half old son one day, and together they fell down the stairs. And he did a great tuck and roll and, you know, kept his son from having a major injury. But, you know, he decided at that point, I'm going to do something different. And one of the things he did that is rather unique is he did a stem cell therapy replacement procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gotten to the point that he could only get around by using a cane. And literally the day after the surgery, he was walking. Mm-hmm. So friends started encouraging, look, hey, you can walk comfortably again. Why don't we go for a walk? Why don't we, go for a jog? Let's go for a run. And Jerry, you mentioned about being a runner, so you can appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did his first 5K, and he's kind of ramped it up since then. It's now been, say, about 10 years since he had that transformation, and he's done, I think, about 95 half marathons. And with a recent Chicago marathon, he just completed his 13th full marathon, including Chicago, New York, and a couple others.
Yeah.
And also this past June, he was a contestant on American Ninja Warrior,
mm-hmm.
and which was an extremely emotional episode, partly because Michael J. Fox personally taped a message of encouragement that was played right before Jimmy, you know, went to do his activity. And while he, you know, only got a certain way through the course, you know, he contends that the part that literally tripped him up was, they called it rolling logs, where, you know, these big kind of pillars are turning and tumbling. And, you know, that threw him off. But he said, I could have nailed the other events. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the kind of person that doesn't give up. But let me, as you asked, read a couple of these to you. One is a young lady named Allison Smith, and she lives in Laguna Niguel, California. And she goes by the nickname of the Perky Parky. And she uses that as the name of her blog and other things that she does. So, but I'll just read what I wrote. Talk about getting a raw deal. Allison Smith was diagnosed with colon cancer at age 24. She endured 14 surgeries in a three-year period. Surviving that, you would think that you would have earned a free pass from other illnesses until you were like 90 years old. Nope, at the ripe old age of 32, she was diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's disease. What are the odds? Too high to calculate. Most people roll over at that point, but not Allison. She wrote a book about her experience entitled I Am Not Contagious and started a blog for the Parkinson community under the name The Perky Parky. Most of her time, the posts are funny. Other times, not so much, as she addressed the challenge of dealing with a degenerative disease at such a young age. In 2010, she launched a program called Parkinson in Balance. The idea was to offer fitness classes, support groups, community events at no cost. She said, I would never have asked for this in my life, but I wouldn't change it for a thing. I made amazing friends and found the meaning in my life, helping others. Her uplifting blogs have helped many a Parky maintain a sense of humor and balance in their own lives. I finally had the opportunity to meet the Perky Parky in person at the Victory Summit in Las Vegas in 2015 and again at the World Parkinson Congress in 2016. She's as fun and energetic in person as she is in her blog articles. I was disappointed, however, that she didn't have her puppy sidekick Crash along at either of those events. Apparently, he's not given the freedom to travel like Allison. And she has a blog, which is parkinsonandbalance.net, if anybody would like to tune in to something like that.
And I find that, as I said earlier, I mean, they're all very inspirational stories. But with Allison, you know, that double whammy, like you said, dealing with the initial colon cancer, okay, move through that, and you think you get a free pass, and no, here you are. And Parkinson's, and, you know, and that's lifelong. And here she is, still doing it. I mean, that's amazing. So, Allison, hopefully you're listening. And if not, when you hear the replay, whatever. But thank you so much on that, eh?
And still reaching out and helping other people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's amazing there. And you talk about the early onset of Parkinson's, you know, with the younger people. And what's, John, what's the youngest age? Do you know offhand or about, I mean, even teenagers?
Yeah, I think I've heard of somebody who's like 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, being diagnosed younger and younger. And some of the challenges, particularly with Parkinson's, is that there's not a simple way to diagnose it. And often many people are not diagnosed accurately for many years. And this is some of the things that there's research being conducted on, so that there'll be better ways to identify it and identify it earlier, so that whatever treatments are available can be, you know, administered sooner to have more positive and lasting effects.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm going to say a complicated thing, but it is. And there was another gentleman you had quoted in, or written about, and I'm spacing out his name right now, but he's got a disease, I never heard of it, Friedreich's
ataxia?
Okay.
Yeah,
what is that all about?
I'll read that article to you as well. But what I've discovered is, you know, kind of with any condition, you know, anyone who's got anything going on, always seems to be looking for a cure, and that's admirable and desirable. But I think, again, it's one of the things I really like about the David Finney Foundation. You know, there's some great groups like Michael J. Fox Foundation that are really pushing for research to take place more rapidly, so that, again, diagnosis can come sooner and more effective treatments become available. And so, you know, you kind of, whatever you get, you kind of focus on your condition first. It's just sort of human nature. But what I found and learned is that there's a lot of other things going on, and it also is kind of, you know, good for the heart and soul to just, you know, be helpful to, you know, people with other situations. So this Friedreich's ataxia is a neurological disease that affects, actually, it targets young people. And so in many cases, a person could be, say, in high school, in the first couple of years, they were athletes and they were active and busy and doing things. And then they come down with this disease, and what it does is it robs the strength from their muscles. So while they might have been running track, the next year they can barely walk, and within a few years, they might be committed to a wheelchair. So there's one gentleman in particular who has this condition, and let me just read what I wrote about him. His name is Kyle Bryant, and I wrote, "Some of my heroes do not have Parkinson's disease. Through Mark Eglin, general manager and partner in Catreg, which is a recumbent bike company, I learned about a condition called Friedreich's ataxia. It is a debilitating, life-shortening, degenerative neuromuscular disorder. Most individuals have onset of FA between the ages of 5 and 18. Seemingly perfectly healthy young people can contract this disease and lose the use of their muscles in a short time, preparing them to use wheelchairs to get around. This condition is treated by some of the same doctors who treat Parkinson patients." And so it's sort of a cousin disease. "I've met some genuine heroes in the FA community over the past few years. Kyle was diagnosed with Friedreich's ataxia at the age of 17. Previously, he'd lettered in several sports. Not to be held back, in 2007, he founded Ride Ataxia with a 2,500-mile, 59-day ride from San Diego to Memphis, Tennessee, to the National Ataxia Foundation annual membership meeting. That has since blossomed into 6 cycling events per year and has raised over $3 million for FA research." He's kind of a machine when it comes to raising money. I think my best effort was like $5,000, so he failed by comparison. But Kyle has also participated in the Race Across America as part of a four-man team, Farah. The team completed the 3,000-mile nonstop race from San Diego to Annapolis, Maryland, in 8 days, 8 hours, and 14 minutes. In 2015, during the Bob Cook Memorial Mount Evans Hill Climb, Kyle rode his Catreg, which is a recumbent bike, to the highest paved road in America at Mount Evans in Colorado, an elevation of 14,000 feet. Kyle stars in a documentary film called The Ataxia, which chronicles his personal journey of becoming the national spokesperson. In addition to becoming an FA warrior, fundraising wizard, and cycling expert, Kyle is also one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Ride Ataxia events can be found at curefa.org, and I have the privilege of taking part in several of those events in Orlando, and just signed up for the one for, I think it's November 15th in Orlando. So it's, but I was pleased to, at last year's event, to give Kyle a copy of the movie, Ride with Larry, which is an event that I had participated in, about a gentleman who lived with Parkinson's for 20 years and did a ride across the state of South Dakota. And Kyle promised to return the favor once his film was released. Yeah. And also the person that I've told that he seriously needs to connect with Amy to get his book done right and get published.
Right on. And perfect right here, yeah, because, you know, we were talking about Davis Finney before and his cyclist there. And, John, you mentioned here with Kyle about the road race up Mount Evans. And, that's right out our door right here. I mean, mm-hmm. We're in Idaho Springs, Colorado right now. And this is the launch spot. You know, you just get off I-70 and 103 here in Idaho Springs, and you start driving up that road. There are people who drive all the way to the top of that mountain because it is the highest paved road in the world. Closed right now for the season because of the stuff called snow, and which we're already getting up here.
Voluminous amounts.
Up high. But there's some people who drive all the way to the top and find it, and it's taxi and credit for them, get out of their vehicle and just hike up that last 30, 40 feet, whatever, to the top. And he's cycling all the way from Echo Lake up there. Amy, you know about that. I mean, that's
considered a really challenging ride for any rider, especially mm-hmm. one with a disease like FA. So that's, I don't know how he did it, but John, for your information, I finally did connect with Kyle this last week, and he sent me a copy of his book to take a look at. So I'm excited to be connected with him now.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did that ride without oxygen either.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably some hikers who, mm-hmm. Can't accomplish that without, mm-hmm. can't accomplish pushing that rock up that hill without a little bit of extra air support.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Amy and I just kind of smiled and raised our eyes when you said about pushing the rock up the hill. It's my book, Sisyphus, carrying that rock up the hill, pushing it up,
yeah.
That sort of thing there, and doing it. Accomplishing that goal there, because I've hiked all over Colorado and, we got officially 54 14ers, any mountain 14,000 feet above, and I've done 34 of them. And I know what the challenge is to just, hike up at that altitude, let alone run. In fact, I've done races where I start here. We have one, it's called the Slacker Half Marathon. We started right at the Loveland ski area, which is right under, around 11,000 feet or so, and you run down into Georgetown, and it's almost all downhill. There's one little rise there for about a half mile or so, but it's pretty much downhill. And I'll tell you what, running downhill, you get winded at that elevation. So imagine pumping uphill, at a couple 3,000 more feet, above that in elevation is just incredible.
I suck wind at like 8,900 feet. So,
well, but I mean, it is these are amazing stories. And what so back to your book itself, though, John and Amy, congratulations, because it's not only your story, which is phenomenal unto itself, but I love I'm going to use the word peppering, that how it's peppered here with all these personal heroic stories, and you're reading through and you're going like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, this is amazing stuff what people are doing, because they're not rolling over and saying, okay, this sucks and been tough, but I'm going to get out there and live life as best I can. And they're doing amazing stuff. There you're talking about is it Jimmy Choi, who just ran, 13 marathons? Okay.
Yeah.
And here's Kyle, pumping up Mount Evans, is one of the highest points in Colorado. That's amazing what these folks are doing.
Absolutely, and the thing is, they all do this with a spirit of not only doing what they feel is good, good for their overall health and mm-hmm. and attitude. They do it to help people with a cause, either by raising massive amounts of funds or by just by their stories being an encouragement to other people. And I feel it's important, and I do say this in the book, that it's nice to hear about somebody completing a marathon or a big bike ride or whatever, but I think I'm just as proud of the person where that's not the easiest thing for them to do, and yet they may get on their little granny tricycle kind of a thing and ride one time around the block every day. Well, if they do that, and that block happens to be like a mile, they could do 30 miles in a month, or 360 miles in a year, which the average person doesn't do that much activity. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of one foot in front of the other and just being consistent and getting out there and doing what you can do and just living your personal best.
And you had called it, when we talked once before, John, something about each step or each one's a victory.
Yeah, it's a David Sinney Foundation truism. It's every victory counts.
Ah, there you go. So, every victory, and keep on peddling, right?
Right. Yeah, pedal on.
pedal on. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And exactly that, because not everyone's going to be able to. And, you know, whatever the disability, whatever it is that is impacting one's life, it could be Parkinson's, it could be something other, like you're talking about the, and I'm going to get the term, I'm going to miss, but Friedreich ataxia, I think, is
that? It's like a hard ataxia.
Oh, and I like that. Amy just showed me one of the pictures in your book there, and it's keep calm, hug often, and pedal on.
Pedal, right.
That's your motto there. I want to talk, because we got about 5 minutes left here, and but who's your audience? Why, you know, okay, we write this book for inspiration, but it seems to me it's beyond the PD community.
That's definitely true. I like to think that it's for anybody who's facing kind of any kind of a challenge, and that's where the thriving comes in. What I've done is to take the word thriving and make it an acronym and actually do a presentation that covers this, but real quick I can go through it. Mm-hmm. T is for turmoil. So that's whatever situation that you find yourself in. It may be your fault, may not be at all. Obviously, a health issue is not your fault. It just happens, and so. Mm-hmm. But you know, it could be a person with a work challenge or career challenge, even a relationship challenge. But it's your kind of cross to bear, and you're kind of stuck with it. So thriving. The H is for honest assessment. It's kind of owning up to that being your challenge and your problem, and saying, I'm the only one who can kind of do something about this. And so, you know, what is really going on here, and what might be the cause of this, not just, you know, blaming somebody else or feeling sorry for yourself. The third is research. What do you need to know about what is taking place? And for me, for the Parkinson's side, it was, you know, learning about the condition, though I didn't like to spend a whole lot of time getting, you know, overly bogged down with, you know, kind of the science of the whole thing, because there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of times where you do need to gather some information and improve your knowledge and skill set. The I is for initiative, taking a step. I'd heard a radio blog that I found interesting, and the person used the term "don't do nothing," which for you know, the literary folks out there probably makes them cringe. But you know, so often, you know, that's a critical step that people, yeah, I want to lose that 10 pounds or 20 pounds or 30 pounds, and yet they don't take any steps. You know, they don't change their, you know, their eating habits, and they don't, you know, start, you know, walking around the block, anything that can, any of that combination that can actually help them get towards their goal. So, you know, start with small steps and work your way up. V is for victory. Every victory counts. So, you know, celebrate the small accomplishments and the progress you're making towards reaching your goal. The I is inspiration, which obviously I've sought from, you know, people that I've gotten to know and met. I guess I would definitely be considered an extrovert, and that's not just being comfortable and talking in front of people and such. A lot of what extroverts are about is drawing energy from being around positive people, and so I seek out positive people. V is...
N is
I guess I was reading a book on Winston Churchill, so it's the old never give up, you know, keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And then the G, which falls back to Amy and her work, is her gratitude. You know, we can't be appreciative enough of the people that help us along the way. And a lot of times, one is just being aware of it. Yeah, I think you had said it a little while ago, Jerry, that, you know, nothing just happens. You know, people might be, you know, put in our way to help us. And so part of it's just recognizing that you've got that gift and that challenge right in front of you. And the second part is showing appreciation for, you know, a person being willing to help you along the path. So, you know, I feel that put in that context, you know, thriving can work for someone with a health issue, but it can work for someone who's dealing with any kind of challenge that they're trying to overcome. And so, you know, that's again, it's coming from someone who is, you know, living with a degenerative incurable disease. And I think it helps me rest easier, helps me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's well received by a broad audience.
Right. And John, I'm going to extend that a little bit there, you know, in terms of, you know, those that are facing challenge, which is probably going to be the vast majority of humans, you know, the human race.
Yeah.
But those of us that are in supportive roles too, you know,
right.
There's you and, you know, we become friends. We haven't physically met yet, but I consider you a great friend now, you know, through Amy.
Absolutely.
And my older sister, one of my dearest, closest ones, is Parkinson's. I have another friend who was diagnosed with Huntington's, and I didn't even know what that was. And when I looked it up, and they said, well, okay, take Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and ALS and mix them all together. And that's Huntington's. And, and she's just in her late 50s right now, too. And so we find ourselves in these supportive roles. And but, you know, to still encourage, you know, to find the joy in life and to be involved and get connected with community, whether it's running or cycling or, well, you know, boxing, you know, and that, you know, okay, it's tough, but, you know, life is there, and to suck the marrow out of it. I think your work is for, I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, good. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hope that more and more people will take the time to get a copy and truly read it and draw out the nugget that applies to them.
Absolutely. It's an inspirational, and that's how I, you know, because I'm reading other works, but just having it on the table. You know, I have Amy's work on there, The Gratitude Connection, and next hour we'll talk about that. But, you know, just pick it up every once in a while and just say, okay, what, you know, and open up randomly to a page, and then you're reading these anecdotes of these young people with FA or PD or whatever, and it's just like, holy mackerel, you know, the stuff that human beings are doing is so, you know, just to kind of approach it that way is another a methodology too of getting through. So if people want your book and if they want to learn more about you, how can they do that?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, the book is available on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
It's available in print and Kindle version. But they could also, I've got a website that's sort of a soon to be released, but it's John Alexander Talks, JohnAlexanderTalks.com. And that'll have some videos, it'll have some explanation of my work and my focus. And it'll also have a link that if someone wants to order a book directly from me and get a signed copy, they'll be able to do that and pay for that online as well.
Okay.
I was just thinking, there's probably a couple things about the book I wanted to mention. One is I've had people tell me, you know, this book sounds like you're literally talking to me. So it was to me as a compliment because it lets me know that people feel that, you know, my writing style is in my own actual voice. And so that makes me feel good. And then the other thing that Amy has told me, and she can comment on this, was that, you know, I was a really good project manager during the course of the book, that we set the plan and I stuck to the plan and stayed with it. Because there were a couple of moments where I had, you know, some challenges that, like with the Parkinson's, one thing that, you know, I continue to have problems with is handwriting, because your handwriting tends to get small and illegible. Well, I was typing this, of course, but typing became a problem sometimes. Just getting the, you know, getting the keys to work properly. So I didn't just write the book. I probably wrote, you know, at least double the amount of the book because I had, of all the corrections I had to make. And then I used kind of a secret weapon for the editing process of this book. Obviously, Amy, as my book coach and editor, this was under her primary control, but my son is a television writer, and I actually had him do the first edit of the book, and he was hard on me because you talked about, well, you know, okay, what was that diagnosis like, or how did you feel? That's exactly what he would do. He's a storyteller by nature, and so he would read a part and he'd go, "Dad, that's not right. That's not what I recall happening." And he said, "How did you feel? Tell me what was really going on in your head." Mm-hmm. And so that part of the book, while I know Amy would have done a great job, you know, with that segment as well, you know, having Brian, my son, being close to this, he, you know, he knew really, you know, which buttons to push and where to kind of draw me out. And then Amy did the fine tune up and layout and such of the book. And then before you know it, we were ready to publish. So mm-hmm. It's been a great experience and a great collaboration.
Well, yeah, John, you really had two book coaches, me and Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Brian. All right. Yeah, because, you know, you have the highest standards, of course. You know, you're going to produce something like this. So, John, and so you have events coming up. You're going to be doing some traveling, you know, get the book on the road, anything like that?
Yeah, I don't have like a book tour as such. I've got a couple of events next week that are in the overall Florida, you know, Central Florida area. One is a presentation I'm doing to the Parkinson Association of Brevard County, which is Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, that area. And so I'm speaking to the group, and then I'm going to have my book available for sale. And then there's another event a couple of days later called Partners in Parkinson, which is actually a Michael J. Fox event in Orlando. And I'm not speaking at that one, I will have a Davis Finney Foundation table, and there's 1,400 people that are expected to be there, and I'll have the book available for sale at that event as well.
Okay.
If I haven't sold out at the previous event, but I'm definitely interested and available to do, you know, more speaking, especially along the lines of again facing any challenge. Because I firmly believe that this is not only, you know, about Parkinson's, but in dealing positively with a great deal of resilience with just about anything that comes a person's way. So I'm hoping to begin to book speaking engagements, you know, that are far flung. Mm-hmm. And hopefully some will even not only be across the country, but internationally as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and Amy and I are nodding when you were saying across the country, because now you got all these Colorado connections here, too. So definitely have to set that up, get in here. Maybe there's a race event then. Davis Finney's right there in Boulder. Amy lives right in that area. And, you know, we got Mount Evans right up, you know, right outside my door here, you know. So
yeah.
There's a incredible energy here. So we'll look forward to your visit back here to Colorado, not the, you know, because you've been here before, obviously. And yep. we'll get some things hopping here, too, because this is super powerful. I want to congratulate both you and Amy on this. This is just, like, fantastic. And it's a timely message. As you say, anyone facing challenges, that's going to be the vast majority of people. But, you know, in all kinds of ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be a debilitating disease. It could be other things, too. But what can we do, okay, to, all right, embrace it and then still keep sucking that marrow out of life, you know? And you're doing it, John. You're very heroic and awesome. I just want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you very much. And I, you know, I'm thrilled to actually be, you know, a published author now.
Right on. Welcome to the club.
that's a feather in my cap that I probably had not anticipated, but very glad that I pursued and accomplished.
That I can identify with. So, all right. We're going to, we are recording the show. I will have it on my website probably by Monday this coming week. And so you'll be able to access it there, hear the, podcast it, whatever. We'll also rebroadcast it here in the studio through the week next week. So it's going to fall, be in a lot of people's antenna and attention there too. So, so people want to get it, you just go to Jerry Fabianic. That's Jerry with a J, and Fabianic is Fabianic. .com, and go to KYGT. That's the radio station we're in right now. We're in the Goat Shack, and to drop down to Writer's Talk, and it'll be there. And listen to it again. And it's just so powerful, what you're doing here too. So congratulations.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you, and I appreciate having me on both times.
You got it. And we'll talk more, and say hey to Goofy and Mickey and Minnie and all the rest of them down there, eh?
Will do.
All right. Okay, John, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, okay, and bye, Amy.
Bye, John.
All right, everyone. Hey, that was John Alexander, and we're going to take in his book, The Journey Starts with 1,000 Miles, and I can never get the subtitle, Thriving with Parkinson's Disease Through Hope, Optimism, and Perseverance. We're going to take a little bit of a music interlude here, and then we'll be back here. Amy's sticking around, and we're going to talk about her work, which is the last letter in Thriving, G, Gratitude, and the Gratitude Connection. On the way to that, though, I've got a special song here I want to send out to John and everybody. Was back in April, and my sister, Helen, who has the Parkinson's, and it was her 80th birthday, so I did a special surprise celebration for her over the radio there. And this song got cut off at the end on the rebroadcast there, so I'm going to dedicate this to Helen and John and all the rest out there, and it's Cat Stevens. Morning has broken.